Looking back, I was 8 years old, out on the dock with my old zip code, catching them fish till mama called me home. It's those fond memories from the past, like the sun going down on my last cast. In my mind, you know right where I wanna go. 'Cause fishing, it's in my soul. It was passed down to me from the days of old. On the water, if there was a way.
It's a little fishing in my soul. Got a great guest coming up. In his own words, Mr. Dan Basor. Done it all in fishing and a great story to tell. Welcome to the show, Dan.
Thanks for having me, Ray.
Congratulations for being inducted into the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame.
It's hard for me to believe. I'm born into a family where no one fishes or hunts and end up with this kind of an honor. I just can't believe it. I wonder if I died and I'm looking down from above and seeing all this,
yeah,
my wake and everything, you know?
Yeah. Well, why don't we tell our listeners a little bit about you getting started in fishing and a little bit about through the years.
Yeah, it's a miracle, as I said. I trace it back to my mother and grandmother making a quilt before I was born and presenting it to me, and it had fish and butterflies and squirrels and all kind of wildlife, and then some books that she'd picked up at a rummage sale on fish and fishing. That was my favorite book, and I'd keep pointing at that, and read that, Mommy. And at age 2, I asked her if she would take me fishing, and she did. And that created the monster that I am today.
You also was inducted into the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame. That's quite an honor, too.
That's right. And it was during my induction, they were reading some of the things, you know, people like Forrest Wood and others that are on the board that knew me from tournament fishing, knew me from writing, knew me from my kids' fishing programs, my museum exhibits, and it was just, they said unanimous in 10 minutes and go on to the next subject, which is kind of unusual. But they even pointed out that there are fewer people in the Fishing Hall of Fame than have won the Nobel Peace Prize. So it is quite an honor. I'm very humbled by it. And mainly, I hope it gives me more of a platform to do more for kids, to get the right kind of fishing tackle in their hands.
Tell me a little bit about your tournament fishing day.
Well, I was one of the charter members of Bass. Ray Scott called me back in, I guess, early 68, wanted $10 to join Bass. And I said, well, I hate to write a check out every year for membership in any organization. How much is a lifetime membership? And he said, just had that question last week. How about $100? And so I was a charter life member of Bass. And we formed the Indianapolis Bassmasters, where I lived at the time and born and raised. And I entered some of the early tournaments. In fact, at that time, Bass was paying $2,000 top prize, and Bass Casters Association was paying $2,750, and more located in the Midwest. So after a couple of Bass tournaments, I started entering the Bass Casters Association tournaments. And I only fished 10 national tournaments, but I was in the top 10 of 9, and won one of them in 1971.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to find out, am I competitive? Because
right. There
are times when I can't catch a fish, and I love that too. It's just a real challenge. It's said that fishing is probably the best sport in that it's easy to learn but impossible to master.
Yeah.
There is no way that you're going to figure everything out about bass fishing.
Something I wanted to talk to you about is about your collection of fishing lures. That's something pretty unique.
Yeah, it started out very early. I was born and raised 4 blocks from the Indianapolis 500, and right across the street was the best tackle shop that I have ever seen in my life. Charlie Sutphin, he was a national casting champion, so was his father and mother. And the lures that he had on his wall and the old trade board were, you know, with his approval, you could trade a lure for one that was up there for 25 cents, and then they had another one that was 50 cents and another one that was a dollar. And I was more drawn to the older lures, and especially when my grandfather died when I was 15. No one else, of course, in the family fished, and he didn't either, but he had a tackle box where he had all these lures brand new in the box, and I surmise that he was planning when he retired to fish, and he died at 55 and never did get the chance to do so. And that really got me going, and I've just had a passion for that ever since. In fact, I found that I could really feed my passion for fishing instead of fishing these tournaments by really increasing my lures, and it gave me more time for business, which gave me more money for more lures and more yeah. fishing. So it was just a great trade-off, and that's what I try to teach kids.
You're also a writer. You're an outdoor communicator, and you've been writing for Midwest Outdoors Magazine for a lot of years. Tell us a little bit about that.
When I moved to the Chicago area, here I was. Everyone knew me in Indiana. I'd won national tournaments. I had a commercial for Amex Coal, and some people thought that's all I did because they'd see me on the commercial on the IU and Purdue and the Notre Dame games. But I moved up here, and I went in to see people at Midwest Outdoors to see about running an ad. And the more they talked to me, the more they said, why don't you start writing articles for us? And that's what did it. And I really enjoy it, the research to do that. And it's just been a joy. I also had written for Fishing Facts. I write for the National Fishing Lure Collectors Club. I had a feature article in this issue on a lure that I found that I didn't know what it was, and did a lot of research and finally found a patent for it. It took the man 3 years and 2 months to get his patent, and he never did produce it. And that's the fun of it, new discoveries, passing my passion along.
When was that when you went to Midwest? Do you remember the year that was?
I'd say around 82, 83.
Wow. So you went from catching fish and doing tournaments, put in an ad, and you ended up being a writer.
Yeah, and I had some other writing gigs, too. Al Linder, who finished 16th in the tournament that I won and didn't win his first national till 74, he had me to do some things with him and his publications. And, you know, I had a lot of articles written about me in various publications, but really writing was something that I didn't think I had the time for, but boy, do I love it. I still do it to this day, and I'm in the process of finishing up an article right now on the fishing museum that's right there in Branson, Missouri. We just visited the History of Fishing Museum, and I would urge you to talk to Carl White if you haven't. He has quite an exhibit down there.
Okay, tell me about your work with the kids, getting the kids fishing. What goes on with that?
Well, again, because, you know, someone took the time to teach me fishing, Charlie Sutphin in the bait shop, I feel a real obligation and a burning desire to teach kids fishing. And when I moved here, I was lucky enough. I had a place with a pond in my yard in my property in Indianapolis, and I said that's what I wanted here, and they said there's nothing like that up here. But I found it. Again, that drive that I have, I just drove and drove and drove around, and as I was going up Herrick Road, which is in the Herrick Forest Preserve, a man was putting a for sale sign in his yard, and a pheasant flew across the road, and I said, oops, that's it. I just U-turned right into it and bought that property. And we have a rack out there with fishing rods and reels and the proper equipment, all the neighborhood kids that want to come fish, and we do fishing programs for school kids, scouts, special needs, foster children, and others. Anyone that wants to have a group out, bring them out. We will give them the proper equipment, and it's a catching lake, not just a fishing lake.
Yeah.
You throw it in there, and there you're going to get something. And it just gets them hooked on fishing. And we've developed a number of products that we have yet to bring out on the market. Of course, there are smart bobbers that replace the old red and white bobbers. I mean, they don't tell you anything, but a smart bobber will tell you if your bait's on the bottom, you know, because it'll lay on its side. And then the scouts, we're not going to let their kids come out anymore unless I had a medical person on hand in case they got a hook in them. And that caused me to develop a barbless jig, which, first of all, the jig is just barely in their lip, and being barbless, they pull the hook out themselves. I have 4 or 5 year old girls and boys that soon after I show them how to handle a fish so they won't get stuck with its fins, are able to catch a fish, release it, and we're catching 2 or 3 times more fish because they don't have a barb that's hard to get out, and they've got that jig head which they will not swallow. So it's those kinds of things that I'm having a lot of fun with.
Tell us a little bit about your work with companies.
Well, Ray, we got a great opportunity to do a lot of research and development. I was contacted by one of the rep groups, and they put me in touch with Lou's Reels. And after Lou died, we switched over to Shimano, and I was one of the first ones. They flew me up, and they talked to me about what they wanted to do, gave me some prototype reels, and said, see if you can tear them up. So I took them down to the Marathon Keys, catching barracuda and sharks, and I sure tore them up for them, which they really appreciated. And other companies from there to Mann's and Bagley's and many, many other companies that I did research and development for. And that's fun being on that leading edge.
Great interview, great information. Appreciate you taking the time to come on the show with us. And congratulations again, Freshwater Hall of Fame, Fishing Hall of Fame. And, wow, you got a lot going on out there. And we appreciate you taking the time to share that with our listeners.
It's so much fun doing that.
All right, Dan. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Okay, you too. Bye.
That was Mr. Dan Basor in his own words. We need to take a break. We'll see you all on the other side.
Stay.